Blog Talk Radio.
Context of White Supremacy, Justice, and Gus T. Renegade, the change I am working for, looking for, is replacing the system of racism with a system of justice. Thank you all for tuning in, Sunday broadcast. I hope you all are looking at the images in the description for this program. Take a moment. Hopefully, you are looking at the show page. I know if you're looking on the page for this program specifically, the images might be a little cropped short, so you don't get to see the full photograph. But if you look from the show page, you will see from the film Mahogany, you'll see Diana Ross and Anthony Perkins pictured. Anthony Perkins, also from Psycho fame. And if you scroll down on the bottom, the film Neo Ned, you will see Gabrielle Union sitting next to the white man with the swastika on his T-shirt. Very interesting. Our program today, always one of our very intriguing topics. We'll be talking about sexual relationships between non-white people and white people. Our guest for today's program, she is our fourth guest from Northwestern University. She is the author of interracial marriages between black women and white men. The director of Northwestern's National Science Foundation Alliances for Graduate Education, PhD and MA from, in sociology from Northwestern University, and a BA in psychology from Lake Forest College. Real pleasure to have her on the program. Should be a wonderful discussion. Our guest, Cheryl Y. Judas. Professor Judas, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Outstanding, outstanding. How are you doing this evening, afternoon, excuse me?
Well, I'm doing fine, but I'm just a little concerned. I must first start off by admitting that I turned into your program, and I was concerned at how my work has been represented on your website.
How has your work been represented on the website?
Where you have the name of your show, and then you say, I'll share my views on the system of white supremacy. Professor, the last name is Judas. It rhymes with Denise Bernice, Maurice. Anyway, investigated miscegenated marriages. I don't view the marriages that I represent as miscegenated at all. I know the term miscegenation refers to either marriage or cohabitation between people of mixed races. But the way it's put there in your website suggests something that diminishes the quality of the relationships I looked at, so I have a little problem with that. And then...
Okay, can I stop you right there?
Sure.
I'd like to address each concern one at a time. I know the term miscegenation. I know many people have different definitions for it. The definition that I use for the term miscegenation or miscegenated is any form of sexual intercourse between a white person and a non-white person. And your book is titled Interracial Marriages Between Black Women and White Men. So the way that I define the term, your book would qualify. It's not a value judgment about those relationships. It is a description of, as I said, sexual intercourse between a white person and a non-white person. So
this
that
is true, but at the same time, you have to also represent it. That's the definition that you use.
This program is very important. I have an extraordinary respect for definitions and the fact that many people define terms in different ways. So I make certain to clarify what I mean. And I don't have a problem acknowledging that other people might have a different definition than the one that I use.
Okay, well, that's as long as we're clear that's your definition. And then submits her analysis of the problems, perceptions, and progress, and you have an italics of tragic arrangements between black females and white men. None of the arrangements I investigated would be viewed as tragic by any stretch of that word. What is tragic about two people that love each other and are living well together?
That is your view, and that's why I have it in italics. That term was coined by a non-white male author of a book on racism, white supremacy, and when he uses that term, he means sexual relationships between white people and non-white people under conditions dominated by racism, white supremacy, and I believe that that is true, and that's why I think we will have a wonderful exchange.
But wait a minute, you can finish, but you just said it's another person's view. So that's fine. If you referenced his book that way, I have no trouble with it. I have a problem with you using that term when you're referencing my work.
You did not allow me to finish. Please allow me to finish. I'm going to be extremely courteous in allowing you to make your statements, share your views. If we do not agree, that's fine. I have not had 100% agreement with anyone who's been on my program. I certainly don't expect you to be an exception. Now, as I was saying, that term, this is my program. I wrote the description. That term, another author has used that term to reference sexual relationships between white people and non-white people. I use the term to reflect my view, not yours, my view of these relationships. that my view is reflected in every aspect of how this program is written. You will be sharing your views on the program, and I don't want you to in any way change your viewpoint. I want you to announce to us all where you disagree. If you don't like a term that I've chosen, if you don't agree with the definition that I use, please announce that, and I want to give you ample time to explain anything you don't agree with, your viewpoints. I'm sure we will have points where we agree as well. I want those to be clearly articulated for all to hear so that we can all come to a conclusion about what we feel about your views, my views, and if anyone calls in, their views.
Okay, well, this is what needs to be said one more time, and I did hear you out, and that is very simply, you are right, it's your program, you invited me to be a guest, which means that when you represent my work on your program, you should be represented from my view. Your website analysis is a distortion of my view. Now, if it was clear on your website that this is what I said and this is what you said, we wouldn't be having this discussion. It is not clear. And as a result, you are telling me that this is another author's view. So my first question is, perhaps he would be or she would be more suitable to being a guest on your program.
He was a guest 2 days ago, excuse me, two programs ago.
Okay.
On the program, and he shared his views. Now, if you have a problem with it, I can alter the description, but I don't think in any way it conveys that these are your views. It's not quoted. It doesn't say Professor Judas said these are tragic arrangements. It doesn't in any way, in my view, convey that you said these are tragic arrangements. But if you feel it's a problem, I have no issue with changing it to make it more suitable for your views. That's not an issue at all.
Well, that's great, because that is exactly what I would appreciate.
I will change it. I will tell you this. I'm not going to change it during the program because I'm going to be focused on operating the program. But as soon as the program ends, I will change it. We can come to an agreement on how you – because I would like to leave that term in the description for the show, tragic arrangement.
What term is that? Okay, well, if you'd like, you can leave it in for the purposes of the show. I'm sure it's not for people that are interested. They will see it, and they will have heard that I disagree with it. But after your show and you have an opportunity to go to your webpage, this term miscegenated and tragic arrangements, I would be very comfortable having you delete.
Okay, I will say this. I will put it in quotes, and I will make it known that you wanted those terms deleted. I don't know if I'm willing to delete them. I am willing to change the way it's structured so that it reflects that you don't think these terms in any way should be associated with your work and that you wanted them deleted completely. I have no problem including that in the description. Would that be okay?
Oh, that'll be fine, as long as we're very clear.
Okay.
And clear to your listeners that in no way do I see these marriages as being anything other than legal, loving unions, and in no way do I think any of these marriages represent anything tragic. We should all be so lucky to be in relationships with people that love us.
Context of White Supremacy, our guest, Northwestern University Professor Cheryl Judice. Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yes, you are.
Judice. All right. Thus, T. Renegade and Justice, and that is exactly what I wanted. This program is recorded, archived. Your response has been captured, so anyone who listens to this program will hear your objections and the description. As soon as this program ends, I will edit it so that your objections are noted in the description for the program. Professor Judice, we've already got hopped into the program. I want to back up to get information about you. For our listeners who perhaps have not read your book or heard you before, can you give them a little background information about yourself, please?
I'm a professor of African American studies and sociology. I'm at Northwestern University. I have been studying this field for many, many years. I don't know what else, what other kind of information you would be looking for.
You are a black female, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Would it be accurate to say that you are a victim of racism, and the definition that I use for racism is being mistreated because you are not white. So would it be accurate to say you're a victim of racism?
No, it would not be.
Not a victim of racism?
Groovy. Nope.
I had one. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I mean, you're asking me if I'm a victim. I don't think that I'm a victim of anything other than I'm a victim of having been very fortunate to have been able to be educated and to lead a very, what I think is, productive life. When you frame yourself as a victim, you are giving away power that I have never had to be in the position of having to give up. Within my life, structurally, within this country, does racism exist? Absolutely. On an individual level, I've probably been one of the ones that would say that I have not felt victimized by anything other than, you know, I could just as easily make the case I'd be victimized by being a woman as much as by race. So there, but again, I don't frame my life as being victim by anything. I feel that I've been blessed to be empowered to live the life that I want to.
Okay. Would it be accurate to say that you've ever been mistreated, to your knowledge, been mistreated because you're not white?
No, it would not be accurate.
Oh, okay. So you have not been mistreated because you're not white?
That's correct.
Okay. Just this program, the COWS acronym for Context of White Supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
I have, unfortunately, because I am a black male, I have unfortunately concluded that we are in a global system of racism, white supremacy. I use the term racism and the term white supremacy interchangeably, and the definition that I use for both terms is as follows: a global system of people who classify themselves as white and are dedicated to abusing and or subjugating everyone in the known universe whom they classify as not white. Do you believe that such a system exists, and do you feel that is an accurate definition?
No. No, I do not. In fact, when I'm listening to you, I'm beginning to wonder if we live in alternative universes. Your statement fact smacks of someone who seems to think that white people get up every morning trying to figure out how to put down black people. Has slavery existed? Am I ignorant in any way to the history of this country and the history of the world? Absolutely not. But your statement gives all power to people based on the color of their skin. And the idea that I would release power to anyone to think this would be okay and that people think this way about me is an entirely negative way to live. I think for many years, African Americans have been victims to the plantation in their mind, not in reality. And that's that way of viewing the world as everyone waiting to oppress me. I wonder how you could get out of bed in the morning if you have to live this way. How do you get out? Are you constantly looking for the enemy? My question to you is, what would happen to you to shape your worldview to think everyone that is white is out to get you in some way? I was raised by African Americans. I have 3 sons. I have brothers. I can guarantee you, as black males, none of them think that way. And to think that way is to inhibit you. And I'm just stunned that anyone would think that they cannot be all they want to be because we have to constantly be looking over our shoulder for someone to oppress us. And the history of this country and the progress that black people made under insurmountable, crazy, awful kinds of conditions certainly attest to the fact that no matter what people may think exists, the reality is that, you know what, we're living in 2010, and we have an African-American president. So the idea that there is all this oppression all around you, you know, we're seeing African-Americans that have made remarkable strides in business. It's just, I just can't get into that mindset.
Wow. As I said, this already, this should be a fantastic broadcast. I'm very happy that you came on the program and voiced your concerns, and I'm looking forward to a just outstanding exchange of views. And I hope you will be able to articulate your viewpoint to the best of your ability so that if my viewpoint is incorrect, none of my listeners will be influenced by my incorrect thinking, that you can help correct that. And I might be wrong. So give us your best. Give us your best, because I want my listeners to have accurate information at the end of the day. And if my worldview is incorrect, don't want that leaking out, impacting other folks. I did want to ask one more. My co-host is here as well, and she wants to ask some questions. She is a non-white female. I did want to ask, because this is very pertinent to the topic, are you married to a white person?
Am I?
Yes, ma'am.
No, I'm not. I'm married to an African-American man.
Okay. Just checking. You said both of your parents are African American as well?
That's right. But I come from a long history on both sides of families that has been multiracial for so long. I can probably go past the 20th century.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
Okay. So long before interracial marriage, as we define it, was legal, my family has been multiracial.
Okay.
Successfully so.
Okie dokie. I do want to point out very important distinction. You do not agree that we are in a system of racism, white supremacy, and you said that you have not been mistreated because you are not white.
That's correct.
You are the fourth professor from the University of Washington to appear on this program.
No, from Northwestern University.
I'm sorry?
I'm from Northwestern University, not the University of Washington.
Oh, I apologize if I said I'm at the University of Washington. Please forgive me for the slip. You are the fourth professor on this program from Northwestern University. You are the first professor from Northwestern University to say that they do not believe we are in a system of racism, white supremacy. Charles Mills, author of The Racial Contract, he was here in December. He agreed that we are in a system of white supremacy, and he agreed that my definition was accurate. He is a black male. Eula Biss, she is a white woman, author of Notes from No Man's Land. She agreed, system of white supremacy, and she agreed that the definition is accurate. Dorothy Roberts, black female, author of Killing the Black Body, among other titles. She agreed, system of white supremacy. She agreed with the definition. So I want my listeners to keep that in mind. I might be incorrect, but this is the first professor out of four from Northwestern to disagree. So you're going to
Though you have to be very clear. I don't disagree that there is a system of racism that has been existent forever, and particularly in how this country was founded. I have absolutely no quarrel with that and can certainly agree with you on that part. My concern comes when you then extend this to the idea that we have to constantly be waiting for a shoe to drop or someone that's going to be poking up behind us that's going to stop us from being all we can be because of this system. There are levels of racism. Most racism that's existed in this country today is institutional racism. Individual racism has diminished over my lifetime. So I don't know, as I said, it made me wonder where you're living, what universe we're living in, because had this not been the case, we would not have an African-American president of this country. 67% of the people that voted in this country voted for an African-American man. This would not be, and by the way, if every black person in this country voted for President Obama, he would still not be president. So the bottom line is that just on the plain numerical way of looking at it, far more people do not subscribe to individual kinds of racism. If you're going to ask me if institutional racism is existing, absolutely. So, but to sit up there and, you know, to project the idea that we have to constantly be vigilant on an individual level about racism is not the way I hope anybody will live.
Okie dokie. I want to go to my co-host to see if she has questions. I'm all about clarity. I want to be very clear. I did not say you need to be waiting for the shoe to drop. Those were your terms. I did not say you need to constantly be on the lookout for racism.
Okay.
I did not say what I said specifically was I gave my definition for what I mean when I say system of racism, white supremacy. You're interrupting again.
Yeah.
What I said was, you're interrupting again.
Okay,
what
you know,
I said
I'm not sure that this is going to be a fruitful discussion. You and
I
are such polar opposites in views that, again, between the distortions that I am certainly not comfortable with, that perhaps it would be best that you find guests that are more in keeping with how you view the world. So there's no reason to have a contentious conversation when you know right from the beginning that the lines have been drawn. So with all due respect, I want to thank you for inviting me to be on your show and to conclude this discussion.
I've muted her mic. This is already all-star for Gus T. Renegade. This is dramatically hammering home exactly what I said. Professor Judice, if you want to hang out and have a courteous discussion, that's fine. I definitely want to make sure it's pointed out and it's a matter of record. The problem we were having was that she was interrupting me. I listened to her viewpoint. I've had former KKK members on this program. We talked for more than 2 hours, no problem. They listened to my response. I listened to their response. Callers, no problem. If you are interested in having courteous dialogue where you allow me to speak, make my point without interrupting me, that's fine. We can hang out. We can have a program. No problem. If you're going to interrupt me and I'm not going to be allowed to speak, then we're not going to be able to have dialogue. I listen to you speak. I've acknowledged we don't agree on everything. I expected that. But I expected we would be able to have courteous exchange of views. If you don't think that would be productive, if you're not interested in doing that, no problem. You're still on the line. I will check. If you want to hang out, I am very interested in hearing your viewpoints, even though I know we don't agree on everything. I'm sure my listeners, my phone line is lit up. I am certain my listeners would love to hear your views over this program. We can do so in a courteous manner. I just want to make sure that I'm given the same courtesy that I'm going to give to you for the duration of the broadcast, and that is to be able to speak without being interrupted. That's all. So I see you're on the line still. So, Professor Judice, are you willing to hang out with us and we can have courteous dialogue?
I'm really not. This is
okay. Thank you. Thank you. There's no reason for you to hang out then. I've muted your mic. As I said, this is an all-star for Gus T. Renegade and the Cows, and I'm going to actually take this time to hammer my point home, and I want to point that out for everybody. As I've said consistently, my goal is to run a professional program and be courteous. The problem was she was interrupting me. She was not allowing me to speak. I listened to her exchange her views. I wasn't hopping in, yelling, screaming, shouting her down about anything, and I was not attributing comments to her that she didn't make. She was saying, you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. You're saying you've got to constantly be on it. I did not say any of that. I simply gave my definition for racism, white supremacy, period. And we saw vociferous disagreements. This is a hallmark example of exactly what I say happens in sexual relationships between white people and non-white people. This is exactly why the program description is written as it is, tragic arrangements. Exactly why it's written the way it is, and exactly why I was resistant to removing that term from the description. I read your book, Professor Judice. I can go through your book and pick out all kinds of quotes that will wholeheartedly back everything that I'm saying. Everything. And that's what I'll do with this time. I'll go through the book and read your quotes, and we're going to start at page 2. I'm going to go to the phone line so people can share their thoughts on the bit that they heard. But I'm going to start with page 2 and make sure that I'm really highlighting this. The actual percentage of all interracial marriages in the United States hovers around 3%, with the category of white and any race other than white or black marriages constituting the largest number of these marriages, and black-white interracial marriages compromising less than 1%. I want everyone to keep that in mind. All of this big to-do that you hear about this rise in interracial marriages and love, blah, 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 blah. Let me rewind so you don't miss that. The actual percentage of all interracial marriages in the United States hovers around 3%. Black-white interracial marriages compromise less than 1%. This is from Professor Judice's book, page 2. I'm going to take a quick commercial break, have a sip of water, and bring folks on the line if they would like to share what they heard from Professor Judice, who I might add has been on Blog Talk Radio before. She has voiced her concerns and chatted with folks who had no problem, in my view, making disparaging comments about black males, saying it's a wonderful thing to have these interracial relationships. They hung out for 2 hours and did this. If you search her name in Blog Talk, you'll find her. I just want to make sure I point that out. The problem we had was me requesting that she stop interrupting me so that I could speak. And I also want to make sure that I highlight she is the fourth professor from Northwestern University to appear on this program. She is the first one who said, no, I don't think we're in a system of white supremacy. I don't agree with your definition. Now, she later said, I do think there's racism, institutional racism, blah, blah, blah. No, I don't think your definition is accurate. Eula Biss, white woman, Northwestern professor, yep, definition is accurate. We are in a system of racism. And further, Eula Biss said, I'm not aware of any white person who is not participating in and practicing racism, white supremacy, including myself. I want to make sure I highlight that. This is also another demonstration of exactly why I'd much rather have white people on the program, not non-white people. At any rate, I'm going to take a commercial break, have a sip of water, make sure Justice is with us. I'll check the phone lines, and then I'm actually going to go through and read parts of her book to further illustrate exactly what I'm saying. Dusty Renegade, Context of White Supremacy, will be right back.
Is racism hurting you? On issues of race, are you unable to speak, think, and act with clarity and confidence? Are you tired of laughing when nothing is funny, smiling when you are not happy, agreeing when you really disagree? At counterracism.com, you can learn specific strategies and techniques to counter the behaviors of the people who practice racism in all areas of activity. Using words correctly, following counter-racist logic, even counter-racist science projects designed to reveal what racism is, how it works, and how to counter it. The open source code writing format allows you to pick and choose from a variety of counter-racist suggestions so you can produce the code that works for you. Stop by counterracism.com today and help replace racism with justice.
That's counter-racism.com.
Cows, Gus T. Renegade, Justice, are you there? Justice, you can talk. Are you there? Thought I had her on the line. I'm not sure. Let me check to see if this is her. Oh, I heard her. Justice, you're there?
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right. I have some questions, but too bad she... Too bad she didn't want to hang out.
It is. And I have to tell you, I am a little bit arrogant when it comes to the sex thing. I was going to skewer Professor Judice with her own book. This is foolishness worse than Charles M. Six. When I start reading off some of these quotes from this book, oh my. It's probably best that she did leave because this was going to get bad. All I had to do was start going through and reading quotes from this book. You can listen to the first 30 minutes of the show, and you can already see where this was going to go. This was going to get bad, very, very bad in exposing victimization and confusion around sexual intercourse between white people and non-white people. I'll say I'm ignorant about a whole lot of things. I'm not very ignorant about sexual intercourse between white people and non-white people in the system of racism, white supremacy. On my worst day, with my D-plus game, I could make her look real bad with her own work. What questions did you have, Justice?
Well, I did want to say, some of my questions. Do you mind if I say them?
Go right ahead.
What exactly do you do in order to never be mistreated because you are not white?
That is the best question in the world. Oh, A plus. I got it. Where's my, oh. That I wish she would have stayed just to answer that question. I was trying to get to you. I was trying to get to you, and she kept interrupting me. That would have been the – if she could have just answered that question, we could have perhaps ended this show. If she could have told us this is how I had – because she said that. Did you hear her say she'd never been mistreated because she was not white?
Yes, I did. Then I also had one more.
Let's hear it.
Has your son ever been mistreated? Because they are not white? If so, how have you helped them with this?
All-star. Justice.
Yes. I wish that she would hang out longer. So I can ask a few more questions.
Those two. Excellent. 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 Anyone who has ever asked about why a 10-year-old is on the cows, you have a live demonstration of why Justice is here. Two extraordinary questions. And I strongly suspect she would have had a tough time answering both of those questions. I strongly suspect that. I do want to back up because I don't like being rowdy with victims. She did say she's not a victim, so I'm actually not doing that. She says she's not a victim of racism. She says she's never been mistreated, so whatever. I have no problem coming out and being real arrogant and saying she would have got skewered if she stayed on this program for 2 hours, and I strongly suspect if I didn't do it, the callers would have been on Professor Judice. I mean, woo! Probably best that she did leave, and I'll go to the phone lines. You all can share your views on a little bit that you heard, but you all are going to have to get back off in a little bit because I need to read some of her book to share some of the folly that is in interracial marriages between black women with white men. But I will check it out. Did you want to share more, Justice, or do you want to check out the phone lines?
I just wanted to share some more. If she never ever gotten mistreated, then she would have. I mean, because white people are mistreating us indirectly.
Mm-hmm.
They're not like touching us or anything. But they're doing it like in a way. It hurts us, but they're doing it in a way where it doesn't touch us.
Wow. So you feel like the white people who practice racism, they are harming you, even though they might not be around you directly touching you. It might not be a white person in your face. doing something to you, but you are still being harmed by white people who practice racism?
Yes.
Very interesting. Very interesting. I guess she did say, I want to be accurate, she did say she believes that there is systemic racism, institutional racism. She did say all of that, but she said so many other things. Most importantly, she has not been mistreated because she is not white. Very highlight, underline, very special person. I wish she had stayed and shared, but, you know, what can you do? Did you have more that you would like to share?
No.
No. We'll see what the folks who called in, if they had comments, feedback. I can go down the line. Let's see. 916. Did you have a question, comment?
Greetings, Gus and Justice. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
That's Hello. Wonderful. Hello. How are you, Justice?
Doing fine.
Oh, that's wonderful. And you, Gus?
Another day on the plantation.
I agree. I realize that she has been victimized, at least, you know, that was the conclusion I came to. So I kind of, restrained myself as far as, wanting to go off on her because, I'm wondering, where does she live? Maybe I should vacation there.
For sure. Maybe that's it. She kept saying we live in different universes. So maybe we need to go to her universe and hang out.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what came to mind. Man, I need to move.
For sure. For sure. Forget the cows. We don't need to do this anymore. We need to go and shack up with Professor Judice. We are coming to your lawn. Let us stay, man.
Exactly, because she not only spoke for herself as not being victimized, but I believe she mentioned her brothers.
Yep.
Other family members that none of them had been victimized.
Oh, man. Oh.
Yeah, so I'm wondering where does she live? Where is Northwestern located at?
Chicago, Illinois. Barack Obama. And if you want Chicago, read the newspaper. Read the newspaper. I read Chicago's Tribune. Chicago is infamously one of the most so-called segregated cities in this area of the world. They are known for having hard lines between where black people can stay and where white people can stay. But Northwestern, it's in a little suburb right outside of Chicago, Evanston. That's where she works at, apparently. So maybe we need to go there. I don't know.
Yeah, either there or wherever she grew up. You know, does she mention where she grew up?
She went to college Lake Forest College. I'm not sure where that is. She went there for undergrad. She did her grad work at Northwestern. Yes, I guess she's still there, so I'm not sure. I'm not sure where she grew up.
Yeah, well, apparently I need to be in her shadow. She's found a way to avoid being mistreated.
Hey. Or she has a different skill set, or she's in another universe. I don't know, but... And she was stingy. She wouldn't share. She could have corrected all that. She could have helped all of us and ended the cows. Like, hey, this is what you need to do, Gus. Get off the stupid show and just do X, Y, and Z, and you won't have any more problems about not being white. Cows could have ended today if Professor Judice had stayed and shared.
Interesting. And please break down for me the difference between she mentioned, that she believes that there is institutional racism, but that racism amongst individuals has declined dramatically. What is the difference between the two, between an institution and an individual practicing racism?
Excellent question. I have concluded that if you ask what is an institution, ultimately, it gets back to people. I mean, you can't just point at a building and say, well, this is an institution. I mean, if there are no people, it's just a building. It's a shack. It's just whatever. Institutions ultimately are people and things people do or things people don't do. So institutional racism has just got to be another way of saying white people who are mistreating people who are not white. That's got that. I mean, when it boils down, that's all it can be. I haven't heard anyone say that that's not accurate. So I'm waiting.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know of one non-white institution that white people are subject to.
Exactly.
Now, maybe I'm incorrect about that.
Exactly.
Do you know of one?
All of the so-called non-white institutions that I know of, white people are in charge of them. So.
Okay.
Yeah, but I could be misinformed. I could be in another universe. Hey, could be. Could be. 704, you're still on the line, Mr. Nero. 704, you had a hand up. Did you want a question, comment?
Oh, yes, I have a question. My name is Diane Frotte of Diane's Mortgage Insurance Refund Service. And when it gets too hot in the kitchen, you have to get out. And so did she do that.
But, oh, I have two people on the line.
I wouldn't promote her book.
Dang. Are you a white person or a non-white person, may I ask?
I'm black.
Oh, okay. Just checking. I don't know. did you, Ms. De Niro, or 704, you said your name is Diane?
Frotte.
Say that one more time.
Frotte, like the day of the week.
Frotte. Am I saying it correctly?
Friday.
Got you. Diane Frotte. Okay.
Yeah.
Diane Frotte or Mr. Nero, did either of you feel like I was being discourteous or rude with her in any way, shape, or form?
No, I didn't.
I wouldn't want her as an instructor. And suppose she was in a press release. How would she handle that? I mean, if we asked the questions of her, would she just walk off the stage when she's at the press release?
As I said, it might have been best for her to leave because I knew this was going to go bad. Just from what she said, the first 30 minutes, she was not going to come out of this looking good. And I wanted her best guess. I wanted her to be confident. I wanted her to come out and stand firm on everything she wrote in her book and what have you, because on my worst day, I think I could have made Professor Judice and her book look very bad. And when I say very bad, very illogical, very nonsensical, it just folly is really all I can say. Folly and or confusion. Now, she says she's not a victim of racism. Yeah.
I would like to add one more other thing. Even Obama is a victim of racism because they don't even respect him, especially when he gives a speech or something, and they try to dismiss his moving forward. And you've heard of the governor, or it was a senator, who hollered, "It's a lie." And then the governor or senator had to retract and apologize.
Yes, ma'am.
And they are only going to let him do but so much.
I agree. I mean, when she was saying, I think we've covered on this program several times, President Obama has been mistreated because he's not white. It's almost a daily occurrence. He got elected because he's not as dark as the other Negroes, and he doesn't speak like them. The monkey comments, the 400% increase in death threat. I mean, it's every day something is in the paper about him being mistreated because he's not white. So, I mean, that on my universe, I get those reports. Maybe on her universe, they don't get those reports. I don't know. Everybody, hang tight. Some other folks, I want to get everybody's view to make sure I did not behave in a discourteous manner, because other people might have felt I was rude, so I'm open to that. 803, you're on with Ms. Friday, Diane Friday, and Mr. Nero. 803.
Hey, how you doing, Gus? This is Thomas, caller from Weddington, North Carolina.
Greetings, sir.
Yeah, very, very interesting, to say the least. I'm not surprised, because those in academia, usually those who happen to be non-white, black specifically, I want to say a lot of black females, they seem to believe that they are not victims because they have, quote-unquote, ascended, and they've got some semblance of resources, even though they could be taken away. We can only point to what happened with the professor from Harvard, to point to how unrealistic their viewpoint is. But, also it kind of points me to the fact that if she is acting that way with you on a program, I can only imagine how she treats a non-white person, specifically a black male, in her classroom, because she feels that he is perhaps succumbing to being a victim of racism. So I can see that she probably plays that out and acts that out, and I've dealt with many a professor who, basically feel that way, and they'll do everything in their power. In some cases, they'll even be more critical of you because they think you're doing you a favor. So they begin to mistreat you, and that's basically what she displayed the other day.
Wow. Was Gus discourteous with her in any manner?
No, not at all. She actually got pretty huffy. She actually went sister girl on you. I mean, what happened to her degree? What happened to her refinement and her degree? Where did that go? If she was doing a show with a white person saying the exact same thing, she would have no problem with it.
Hmm.
I guarantee it.
Well, when masses speak, we all listen.
Basically, that's it. Wow.
I wish she had stayed. Even with the time she was here, though, I'll submit that anybody who they don't think sexual intercourse between white people and non-white people is a problem, this is going to now be Exhibit A for actually Dr. Eddie Moore program. That will be Exhibit A. This will be Exhibit B for what I think happens, sexual intercourse between white people and non-white people. And I have consistently said it has a corrosive effect on not just the non-white person in the relationship, the non-white people around those relationships. They tend to be impacted in a harmful manner. I think this is a demonstration of that. I could be wrong. Again, maybe I'm just on the wrong universe. I just need to switch planets and all this will be corrected. 619, you're on the line. So it's Mr. Thomas, Ms. Friday, Mr. Nero, 619. You're all live.
If the arrangement, the sexual arrangement between black people and people who are not black, isn't tragic, that little exchange over those 30 minutes was certainly tragic. You wonder if she didn't think that there was an issue about mistreatment related to color. You wonder why she wrote a book called Black Women, White Men. Why would that be of any significance? But first, hey, Justice, long time no hear. Good to hear your voice again. And you would have absolutely clobbered the poor victim, I say.
She's not a victim. She says she's not a victim.
That's true. And that would be name-calling, wouldn't it, since she says she's not. If I continue to refer to her that way, that would be name-calling. That would be if you had asked those questions, I think that would have been painful for me to listen to. That would have been very painful. The thing that I most took away from that, and I'll be quiet in a little bit, the thing that I most took away from it was her white behavior, apparently, that she came in on and said the things that people who practice white supremacy would like to have a black person say. And then I anticipated it. I anticipated that you guys would use the strategy of saying, is that right? You don't think that there is such a thing as a system of racism, white supremacy? You know, somebody white, lots of white people have said that there are. And I thought, yeah, well, he's going to do that. You did do it. And watch her change her answer. You know, I didn't say there wasn't a system. I'm just, let me redefine it. Yeah. So I'm done for right now.
Yeah. I knew the fact that she was not the first professor from Northwestern. She was the fourth. That was going to be a really nasty move I was going to be able to pull out if anything got ugly about her saying there's no system of white supremacy, and the fact that there have been white professors and non-white professors from Northwestern here. I got sound clips that I can just roll out of white people saying, yep, there's a system, and in fact, all of us white people know and feel guilty about it. Yeah. And I knew you all were going to be waiting in the wings that even if Gus failed horribly and couldn't do anything correct, that the phone lines were going to be there, that this was going to be bad. It was just a matter of time. Who was that?
No, this, Mr. Nero again.
Okay.
Let me just quick, you know how I feel about the sex between white and non-white. I say you shouldn't even be in a room alone with somebody of the opposite sex. That's white. But let me just add this, because I do drive cab, and I get a lot of, you know, Gentile, white, non-white people in this cab. For me, the cab is almost like a laboratory. I get to run a lot of tests on them. And the last test I ran on a white person with a non-white son, she got in the cab, and we got on the subject of race, and I asked her if she speaks to her son routinely about race. And she says, no, it never comes up in their family. And she's married to a black male. She has a non-white son. And so I said, interesting. And she says, well, I've told him a little bit about, you know, the civil rights movement. I said, really? Well, you know, what have you shared with him? And the boy chimed in, well, I know Martin Luther King freed the slaves.
Oh, wow.
And I just went, oh, waiting for his mother to correct him, right? And then her response was, well, he did more than that. I said, wow. So Gus, I asked her if she would be willing to come on your show, her and her husband. Mm-hmm. And she agreed, but I have not been able to get her on the phone. Would you be willing to interview her and her husband?
Anytime.
Wow.
I will try to make that happen then.
Anytime.
Martin Luther King freed the slaves.
If you can get the offspring, that would be great too. But I'll take, you know, if it's just her, that's fine. If it's her and her husband, that's fine. But if you can get the offspring, that would be A+.
I will see what I can do.
I would appreciate it. I would be super appreciative anytime. Anytime that's convenient for them. Unless I have a show, that's the only thing. But I would probably even move a show around if you could make that happen anytime.
No problem.
But Gus, Gus.
Yes, sir, our Destiny, you're on, so you can hop in too. Your mic is on. Lauren Ashley is, it's like 10 people here, so, you know, just try to trade places. I'll be quiet.
Okay.
You can go ahead and finish your statement, please, though.
This is Thomas. I don't know what it is about non-white females who are in academia, but there is definitely a level of denial. I mean, besides her, there was a professor, I don't know if you're familiar with Michelle Wright. She actually is her equivalent at the University of Chicago. And I asked her basically the same question, do you believe that there's a system of, you know, racism, white supremacy globally, and she, of course, answered no. And furthermore, so then I asked, so she made some statements about the strides that we made and all the different things that, you know, non-white people have been able to accomplish in this country. And I asked her, was she familiar with Dr. Frances Cress Welsing? Now, oddly enough, this is a person who has attained a doctorate in this field of study and said she had no clue who Dr. Frances Cress Welsing is. Not only the fact that Dr. Frances Cress Welsing is from Chicago, so in some cases they want to even deny any work that would be considered valid in the realm of academia to validate, you know, the system of racist white supremacy exists. So there's a huge level of denial out there. That's just an observation I've made from African-American women who are in academia. Not all, but many.
Wow.
You know, Gus, it would be great for her future students and past students to hear this interview.
I would love it. I would love it. Any non-white person at Northwestern, I would love for them to hear this program, particularly if they have taken a class with Charles Mills or Dorothy Roberts, who are both non-white, both agreed system of racism, white supremacy, and then go speak to her. There seems to be a real discrepancy here. Help us out, Professor Judice. I mean, you know, what is going on here? Like, Gus, you might be crazy, but, I mean, Professor Roberts, hey, she's got a lot of the same credentials you do. Professor Mills, author just like you. What is the problem? Are they in a different universe too? Our Destiny, did you have a – I saw your hand up. Did you have a comment or question you wanted to make? Our Destiny, I can see you on the switchboard.
Yeah, I wanted to ask her whether this study was comparative. Did she interview black women and white men who were divorced?
She may have. I'm not sure. I know this book in particular focuses on black females with white men who are still married. And she also does some interviews with black men who are married to white women. I think it's about a group of 50 couples, and they're all married. So, I'm not sure. She might have done some work on those couples that are divorced or what have you, but that information is not in the book that I read.
Okay.
Lauren Ashley or Non Mighty Wick, you all are also mic'd if you have questions or comments you would like to add, or anybody else.
I have a – hello?
Yes, Justice, always.
All right. I did want to – when I went up to – Tacoma, I saw this stand that these white people were like selling out like some posters or some piece of paper about Obama. And I saw a parrot or like some type of bird on his shoulder. And then like there was like a cracker, and then he said Obama is a cracker. And same thing, and then there's another one that I saw, like Obama was looking up at the sky, and he was, and it said Obama, well, send Obama to the moon. And then there was another one. I don't remember what was the other one, but those are the only two that I know.
Wow. Were white people giving out these shirts or selling, I guess, these items?
Sorry, can you repeat that one more time?
Yes, ma'am. Was it white people? Could you tell if it was white people that were selling these items, or I don't know if they were giving them away, selling them? Was it white people who had this stuff?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I suspect they could be racist. I suspect they were practicing racism, white supremacy.
I think that maybe, they were making... Sorry, go ahead.
Please, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think they were making fun of President Obama.
That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like. Racism, white supremacy at work again. again, maybe we just need to move to where Professor Judice is, and you know, we won't have to look at any of that stuff anymore. Everything will be great. We'll no longer be victims of racism, white supremacy, and the cows can end. Life will be good. We can invest our time doing something else, whatever they do in Evanston. Lauren, go ahead.
I'm just wondering when she's going to click her heels 3 times and come back home. I do have a question, though, for the non-white females on the line. Perhaps you can share with us what black women, you know, talk about in regards to racism. You know, when y'all get together, I mean, is there like a consensus from most black women that, you know, that you guys have picked up on, or is the subject, you know, does it not come up?
I'm just hopping in because there might be another non-white female on the phone who can answer to this. 805, are you there?
Yes, my name is Natasha, and I'm a black female from Los Angeles. And one
there
of the things
go.
I wanted
wait
to
a minute,
say
wait a
is...
Minute. Wait a minute. Somebody's got distortion in the line. Like, I can hear the show feeding back. If you're listening on your computer, if you could turn the volume down, or if you're on the phone, make sure it's no speakerphone. Okay. Natasha, did you hear the question? Because I think he would like you to respond to the question, too, and I'd like to hear your comments. Okay.
About black women and racism?
Yes.
Well, I live in Los Angeles, and I wanted to say one of the things is, with racism here, there's a lot of non-white people here, like Hispanic, you know, Mexican people and Middle Eastern people. And I believe because of colonialism in their countries, where they were taught, too, that lighter skin was better, they come over here and they're prejudiced and have negative feelings towards black women. And black women, we get it harder because a lot of people think, you know, we're all bobbleheads and chicken heads and on welfare. And the media also puts us in a bad light. So my fellow sisters and I discuss racism a lot. And one of the other things I wanted to say, too, is as far as, you know, I don't care who somebody dates, but you have to be aware. Look at the incident with John Mayer. Supposedly, you know, he's been on Oprah and black people like him and all this and that. And then look what he gets and says about black women. And nobody's taking up for us. Where's Jay-Z? Where's everybody coming up mad at him? Everybody was mad at Kanye West for jumping on stage with that little white girl. But then when it comes to John Mayer calling us the N-word and this and that and talking about his penis, where's everybody jumping to our aid?
Can I, Gus, are you going to respond to that?
Nope. You asked the question to non-white females, and I'm not a non-white female, so.
I'm sorry. Are you going to respond to what she just said as far as where, because she asked the question, you know, how come people aren't running to our aid?
Oh, I can. I have observed, and I could be incorrect, but from what I have seen, a lot of white people have fussed at Mr. John Mayer for what he said. I don't know if she was referencing non-white people. I believe she said like Jay-Z and these folks. I don't know. I think Cree has written a blog post about this incident where she's upset. I know Lisa Marie Rollins has responded and written a blog post. I've just been a little niggerish in getting my blog post out about this because I've been doing shows, but I'm going to have a blog post about this. None of us are as prominent as Jay-Z or, you know, whoever else, but I know white people have responded pretty vociferously in saying, you know, oh, my God, can't believe he said that. That's terrible. White people have done a lot of fussing at him in the refined stage of racism, white supremacy that we're in now. Black people, I don't know if I can't say that I've heard Jay-Z or other prominent non-white people coming out to condemn him. But, you know, Cree, I think Cree has a name. She's becoming pretty prominent in the counter-racism circle. She has responded. And hopefully I'll have my blog post out within the next 24 hours. And that'll be a black male responding to what he said as well. There.
Interesting.
Other females on the line. Lauren Ashley's here. Cree is here. Our Destiny. It's quite a few of you all today, so chat away.
Hello?
Yep, gotcha.
What was the question again? I'm sorry. Not my females?
Oh, well, just Hello? Basically, do non-white females discuss racism together? When you guys get behind closed doors, I mean, do you guys actually discuss racism?
My friends will ask me questions and stuff like that because they know I have no problem with talking about it. A lot of confusion when it comes to racism is that white women get us pumped, non-white females pumped up on this feminism crap. So when they do practice white supremacy on us, we don't really realize it because we're not taught to first suspect a white woman's practicing white supremacy. Second of all, we're taught that the men are the problem and not white women are the problem. So we don't never, this feminism crap has got us cloudy, especially black females. And then this I've talked to Gus about this before, the whole I'm a strong black woman thing that we got going on. We wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't be going through this crap if it wasn't for racism, but we don't really take it there. Because it's that whole pride thing that they give us. Well, I'm pretty sure that white people, the people that practice white supremacy, gave us that strong black woman crap. And it feeds our ego. So, yeah, this whole feminism crap is what really stops us from thinking about racism. Because white women, they will practice it on us. But because we're taught that feminism, that is it's the males that's the problem, we just say, oh, she's hating or she's just a mean person or something like that. So, yeah, we're very confused. So, especially when she started talking about this, oh, for my gender stuff, I knew it right there. I was like, wow. She's probably been, you know, she probably experienced white supremacy. But that whole, the feminist brainwashing has stopped her from suspecting that it was white racism.
So, let me get this straight. So, when they get to talking about, I'm sorry, did I interrupt somebody?
Oh, no, I was just going to say I totally agree with you about the feminism part because if you notice, they come in, they tell us, oh, you can do it yourself, you a strong black woman. Obviously, we're strong black women because we're the descendants of slaves and we're the ones that made it. So obviously, we're strong. But they try to make us think you don't need a man, you don't need a father, you raise these kids on your own, and then the government will give you welfare to help you raise these kids on your own. And that's what's happening to our children. But yet, if they meet a basketball player or a black man that's masculine, oh, those white or have a little money, those white girls are all over him. So it's okay for them to not be a strong woman and take our men. But for us, we got to be strong and single.
That's the program. And if more non-white women, especially black women, realize that the feminism is bullshit. I'm sorry, forgive my language, but yeah. That's basically what it is. If more of us realize that, we would be really tuned to these white women who practice white supremacy.
And black women, before feminism even came out, black women were always outside of the home working and going.
Exactly. Exactly. And now white women still taking care of, you know, white women's children, and we're still taking care of their houses, right?
Yes.
So what is this bull crap about feminism? We see, but we don't think that because, like Fuller said, we're given something, we're just taking it, run with it instead of examining it. So,
and it's
I actually had a
workplace too. I have a friend who works for the phone company, and some of the things that they have to do is shave their legs, and they do have to smile and be a yes sir, yes ma'am, person in order to keep that job. Because some black men think of it's sexy for a black woman to have hair on her legs. But they do require that you shave your legs within the workplace.
And see, the whole point of feminism supposedly is so that we have equal rights. So if I have equal rights, then I shouldn't have to shave my legs. I shouldn't have to wear stockings or whatever I don't want to, because you're supposed to be equal to the man. So obviously, you're not equal in the workplace if you have to shave your legs.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead, Justice.
All right. I'm going to hang up. I'll see you guys in a few hours.
Yes, we'll be back for the white people at 4 p.m., Justice. I'm very happy Justice will be in the house for these white people. I will most likely be discourteous with these white people because I have no regard for them at all other than they are suspected racists, so I respect that. But other than that, whatever. We should all be in a foul mood for these white people because they have displayed no interest at all in replacing white supremacy with justice. So please tune in. I'm going to open the chat room. This will be one of the two where the chat room will be open. Yes, come call and be rowdy with the white people. So yes, I'm glad Justice will be hanging out for this one.
All right. Well, see ya.
Email.
All right.
Oh, I mean, give your email address, Peanut Head.
Oh. All right. Justice.asap@yahoo.com. Again, justice.asap@yahoo.com.
Thank you, ma'am. Excellent questions today. Excellent questions. All-star attempted counter-racist efforts.
Hello.
Oh yeah, we're all still here. The other females going to respond to, or I'm done. Oh, we got Non Mighty Wick. I forgot if you had a comment because he hasn't spoken at all. So Non Mighty Wick, if you want to share, and then the other females, if you want to respond to Mr. Nero's question, I would appreciate hearing the feedback as well. And we have a line open now, so if you want to call in, 347-215-6071, line is open. Go ahead.
Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Just responding to Mr. Nero's question, that was, I think, an interesting question. There is a lot of confusion out there. There's a lot of confusion. I thought that what Lauren Ashley said is not an inside joke there. I just have the hardest time pronouncing her name, but I think I got it right. I think that what she said was accurate. There's a lot of confusion about the fact that it's gender-based, that it's white males who are the problem, and the white females practice it. So, my apologies, I'm trying to turn off the ring. There's a lot of confusion. There's about males being the main perpetrators of racism, white supremacy, and I think that's compounded by the fact that black females seem to desire the validation by white persons, both male and female, more than black males. I think that's probably because we don't experience the more aggressive physical types of racism that black males do. And there's a big, big strategy by racist men and racist women to get the black female to join in on the beat up of the black male. So there's a lot of blaming black males for all our troubles, and it seems, you know, it seems like it's true to a lot of black females. And, you know, that it's just unfortunate. It's just unfortunate. It seems like it goes on at every level that we want to join in and blame black males. And then on top of that, here comes the white male solving all our problems on the shiny horse. But what seems to be consistent is that even when you get into a so-called marriage or long-term relationship with a white male, they seem to take that as a platform to get you to, they will say things, try to take license to always be criticizing black males of one sort or another. And the price for staying in that arrangement, which usually involves the exchange of trinkets and things, is that you stay silent about it and complicitly agree with that, complicitly agree with all the beating up of black males.
Wow.
Hello?
Hello?
Rue, I don't know what that is. R-U-J-O-N-W, if you just called in, you're on if you had question or comment you wanted to add. And there's
right.
a line open.
Yeah, that's pronounced Rujan.
Rujan, gotcha.
Rujan, right. I've actually called the show before, but I find this subject pretty interesting. I've spoken to you all before, but we didn't quite agree on the subject that was at hand at that point. But I think we can agree on this one, because I'm going to tell you, for the longest time, I've always thought that one of the cruelest jokes ever played on women, and that's women across the board, was the feminist movement, and that was by men, because, you know, what better situation for a man than have a woman say, okay, it's free love, you know, let's just make love and not war. I mean, who's going to benefit from that? That plays straight into the male psyche. Burn your bras, walk around braless, and so on and so forth. That in itself was a key to getting women to understand. But they bought into it, and subsequently, whatever, and hear me, whatever is good for the white man, it's got to be twice as good for us. So what we did was we bought into it also. So instead of us trying to empower men, African American men who are already in a situation where they're being beat down by the society that we live in, we went ahead and, you know, black women just went ahead and jumped on the black men at the same time, or just rather just went along with what, you know, what the system was doing as far as keeping them out of the household. You know, I mean, I'll give you plenty of money. I'll give you plenty of food. All you got to do is put the brother in the street. Don't let him come live with you. Don't let him stay in the house where his kids are. Make him pay child support, which I believe men should pay in the first place. But, you know, put him up for child support and keep him out of the house. Therefore, you got a never-ending cycle of insanity. So, you know, it's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. Makes no sense to me. I'm glad that that you guys are addressing this issue. Hello?
Oh, we can hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, apologies. No.
There was no comment, so I'm just like, uh-oh.
I think, one, we tend to be better listeners here, where we're not just waiting to hop on someone for something that they said. And I think the non-white people on the line are a little more codified, so... you said what you said. We can, you know, share our thoughts. But, yeah, should be a codified counter-racist exchange of views here. You have folks who've been doing this for a minute, I think.
Okay. I often get mistaken for some reason for being white, which is kind of baffling to me. So thank you for not doing that. I'm not white. So.
Hello.
Okay. We can hear you too, Lauren. Ask.
Okay. I'm sorry I keep saying hello. I just want to know that I'm heard. I think the white people who practice white supremacy, I think they make it easy for the black male not to be there by not, giving the black male a chance to provide for his family. So I just want to put that out there. That I really, you know, I know black women try, really, really try to work with black males. But the white supremacy practices so well, you know, the white supremacists practice white supremacy so well that it has an impact on the black male as well. So, they make it easy. They make it easy for the black male, for her to say, I'm going to take care of my family and I'm going to make sure they have a home, you know, make sure they have food. So, but you can't be here. They make it easy for that to happen. I just want to put that out there. So it's not like, oh, well, I got my kids right now and bunk you. I doubt if it's like that. I don't have children of my own, but I really doubt if it's like that. Because I know black women out there that really, really try. They hurt and they don't understand what's going on. So I just want to put that out there.
Right. But that all was brought into existence. You know, part of it was done during the it goes all the way back to Wilson, but Roosevelt, Franklin D., had a lot to do with that. But it was all also implemented during the Great Society of Lyndon Johnson. I don't know if anybody ever listened to any of the tapes of Lyndon Johnson while he was in office, but he made it known that Lyndon was not the black people were not high on his list. And he was known to use the N-word on several occasions, even, you know, right as he went out to do press conferences, he would be, you know, saying things that he didn't want to hear on the air, but were taken, you know, recorded on tape in the Oval Office. And it's public information, so if anybody wants to get a hold of it, you can go to the Library of Congress and pull it up that way. But it's never been a situation where you know, if you think that when they first implemented this thing, it was a win-win situation for African Americans, it never was. But you know, that's pretty much how it is. But you know, we've bought into it, so the only way to change it is to change it.
I wanted to make sure I got in. Before the program, we got over 30 minutes, but I wanted to make sure I got this in. This is from Professor Giudice's book. This is from the chapter titled, Have Interracial Marriages Become More or Less Acceptable in Society? And in her book, she seems to suggest that this is becoming more acceptable and proof that things are improving. Race relations are improving. This is on page 87. She's quoting one of the non-white African-American females that she spoke with. And this female says, yes, society is more accepting, and certainly Hollywood is pushing it, breaking all of the societal taboos. I mean, white men can't keep their hands off poor little Halle Berry. Everybody wants to make a movie where they can kiss her. It's kind of funny in some ways. Hollywood is moving people along a little bit, and more black actresses get those kind of roles. I mean, Halle Berry's breaking ground in a lot of ways, playing opposite of white men on a regular basis. So it's like people are getting used to the idea, and Jennifer Lopez has helped people along these lines too. She's dated white males, black males, whatever it may be for publicity, but at least she didn't seek out people who look like her. Eventually, other people are going to catch up. This is from page 87 in the chapter on Have Interracial Marriages Become More or Less Acceptable in Society Today? Professor Cheryl Giudice. If Halle Berry's acting career is evidence of our progress in race relations? I'm done. I have nothing else to say. Thank you. Anybody else, if you want to call in, there's a line open, 347-215-6071.
You're joking, right? That was an actual quote in the book.
Page 87, Cheryl Giudice's book, Interracial Marriages Between Black Women and White Men.
Since when is Hollywood a reflector of what happens in the black community? For years and years, Hollywood shut black people out, and now because they decide to let a couple black people in and make these films and show black women kissing white men and vice versa, all of a sudden it's okay? Dude,
different universes, man. Different universes. Different universes.
It also says on a regular basis, but then too, like for the guys who married a white woman, they have to bear a heavy, heavy consequence, because when they are caught doing something wrong, either they will divorce him, or he will have to buy a big, big diamond or what have you. So really, they're just using the black man.
I wanted two other people called in. I wanted to make sure I got them on. 310, you're on, 310, and whoever called in at 111, you're on as well. So 310 and 111, you're live if you want to hop in and share your comments, questions.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can I be heard? All right. Hey, guys, how's it going, Mr. JJ? 310. Wow, I just can't get over that the woman stating that she was not a victim, she's not victimized by white supremacy, never has been. It's funny, but I think that maybe we're making too much light of it. It is funny, but maybe we should be a little more sensitive to that, because she obviously is suffering from some extreme victimization that has put her in such a frame of mind as denying reality. I don't see how it is that you could be a person of color and not be a victim of white supremacy to some extent. The only exception maybe, I guess, if she can pass, then maybe perhaps, but even then you would think you would still psychologically still be a victim of white supremacy. So I wanted to... I just had to call you and just express that. It was just so absurd to me. Also, what it is. And then I wanted to ask a question. I've heard you, you know, definitely over the years, much of your views with regard to interracial, sex between white people and non-white people. And much of the time, or most of the time, it's usually we're talking about black men and white women much of the time, but I know you weren't exclusively, specifically only talking about that, but that's typically what it ends up, the discussion, you know, with regard to the context of the different programs and stuff. But I wanted to ask you, and if you could state this for us, because then I have a follow-up question, and that's this. You feel, I guess, what is the number one main issue that you feel makes sexual relations between non-white people and white people a bad thing? Gus.
I would say the number one problem really was demonstrated on this program today with Professor Giudice by someone who alleges or said that she is not in a sexual relationship with a white person, but she has conducted extensive research, and that is it renders the non-white person totally incapable of thinking accurately and or honestly about racism, white supremacy. That is what I have observed every time. It turns, Minister Fuller, I asked him, this was before the show had been resurrected here at Blog Talk Radio. I called him and we were speaking, and I asked him, and his response was, it turns the non-white person's brain to rot. And I think Professor Judice gave a vivid demonstration of that today. So this would be my this program would be my answer to your question. The number one problem that I see with it, Professor Cheryl Y. Judice exemplified that on this program.
And
that's
heard,
a heavy judgment. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh yeah. And I wanted you to state it. Not because I didn't necessarily disagree or that I hadn't heard you before, but I want people to hear that out there. And I think I have a follow up question to that. And do you think that that goes in both directions? Do you think that it confuses non white folks? You're saying, but do you think it also confuses white folks about racism, white supremacy? And I'm begging the question.
I knew that was coming.
Forgive my laughing. I shouldn't have laughed.
No. I completely understand.
I'm gonna again point people to the photographs that are sandwiching the description for this program. Diana Ross and Anthony Perkins. Anthony Perkins from Psycho fame. That is from the film Mahogany, and the lower film, Gabrielle Union, in Neo Ned. I was going to pick Monster's Ball photo, but I thought that would just be too heavy-handed. I thought this was much more subtle. I liked everything about those photos I love. I'm going to pitch, if that's okay, I'm going to pitch this question to the counter-racist evolving engineer. I highly respect her views on racism, white supremacy. She has an exemplary post on this matter on her blog, cree7.wordpress.com. I have so much faith in her views on racism, white supremacy. I'm confident she'll give you a home run response that I'll just say I'll co-sign on whatever she says. Cree, if you're there, please give him his answer the question that he posed. Do you think this confuses sexual intercourse between white people and non-white people? Do you think it confuses the white person in those relationships in a similar manner?
Well, the evidence would be no. The evidence is that we still exist in a system of racism, white supremacy, and sex between white and non-white people has been going on for centuries. So if it were having that effect on white people, it would be gone because they would be so confused they wouldn't be able to practice it. They know exactly what they're doing.
Okay, fair enough, and I'm asking the question not because I'm trying to advocate any particular point of view. It's just something I've been thinking about and wanting to sort of rethink about and come with new, fresh eyes and see if I could maybe find something new around this. And so I'm not arguing, but I want to follow up to that. I want to ask, well, you know, would that necessarily, I guess the thesis you're putting forth, that wouldn't necessarily make sense, though, given that most non-white people and most non-black people aren't in any sort of sexual relations. So to say that there's been sexual relations between blacks and, well, between non-whites and whites over history, and that there's still a system of white supremacy proves that there's no ambiguity. That thesis, that rationale doesn't seem to link up, I guess is what I'm saying. Like, wouldn't we have to hone in and more look at the specifics amongst those specific group of white people who are engaged in sexual relations with non-white people rather than the collective of white people? If that makes any sense.
Still my question? Is that still my question, Gus, or do you want to take this one?
Take it away.
Okay. Well, first of all, let's go back to the inverse, right? So I think Gus has already stated that he thinks, and I agree, that the sex between white people and people who are not white, when we're talking about the victims of it, it's not just affecting the people who are engaging in the sexual acts. It's affecting all of the people around them who see this confusion. who think that because somebody has been in an embrace, you know, the most intimate of embraces in a bedroom with someone who's not white, they couldn't possibly be practicing racism. And that's going to happen to not just the person who's in the embrace, but all of those who know of the embrace. So it's confusing to them. So if it's going to extend beyond the bedroom for victims, the same thing is true for beyond the bedroom for white people. So people who are, if it were going to have the devastating and confusing effect on white people to the same degree and in the same way that it does to the victims, it would also affect the white people who are not in the bedroom. It hasn't done that. The white people know this thing is going on. You would think, oh, well, this proves that, you know, we can love and we can be in equal relationships with people who are not white, and everything would be hunky-dory. All these white people know this sex is going on. It hasn't affected them. The system's still going.
Fair enough. Yeah, I live out here in California, and I see, you know, tons and tons of interracial relationships and know tons of people in them. And just my personal experience, I think what both of you guys put forth is, for the most part, accurate. It's more accurate than not accurate. But I find that it seems like people that are in interracial, specifically non-white, white, interracial situations, they both sides seem to be confused. But I would say it is definitely still skewed towards the person of color being most confused about the transaction. And then that's all I have to say. I don't want to dominate this, but I thank you for that. And I want to leave you guys with one interesting anecdote that I observed just a couple days ago here in L.A. At the mall. I was walking in and observed a couple. One was, it was one and such black man, white woman. And interestingly enough, a couple with the with in which the male in this situation was white and the female was black, walked past this interracial couple, and the interracial couple with the black man, white woman, both of them stopped and took a huge, like, broke their neck in utter, I don't know if it was astonishment or amazement or what, but it goes to show, I guess, the interracial relationship in which there is a white male and black female is, I guess, still so, has even more politics around it, that even interracial couples break their neck to look at that couple. So I'll just leave you with the anecdote. I don't know what it means, but I thought it was interesting.
I must respond to that. You gotta let me.
Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah. Respond, please.
310, don't leave because I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Creed. Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead, Gus. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm being lazy. Go ahead.
There were two points, but I'll just respond to the latter one. I meant to say this earlier when we were talking about the reason that black females may be more confused about the system of racism, white supremacy, and who practices it. And I said I thought the primary reason was that we don't experience the more violent forms of it. No, that's secondary. Primary, this is really key. People really need to, I hope people will hear this, and I hope people will believe this. Some people know this. The primary reason is that black females are either the primary participants or secondary participants, meaning that their mothers, their sisters, their aunts, their friends, somebody they know who's a black female is engaging in sex with white people. Our minds are more mushy because we engage in more sex with white people than black males do. And that seems to be the reverse of what is the case, because on the sidewalk, what you see a whole lot more black males with white females than the reverse. But there's a whole lot. There has always been a whole, since slavery, there has always been, continues to be, in office buildings, in houses, everywhere you can possibly think of, lots and lots of sex between black females and white men. The key is that it's real hush-hush. It's real secret. And white people, they enforce and depend upon its secrecy so that we don't even know the devastating effect other black people don't even necessarily know, where all those defensive statements are coming from black women, because people don't know she's been in the bed with a white man. They depend on the secrecy of that, and they don't want it exposed.
That's interesting. That's interesting. And now, you know, now that you said that, it brings up it opens up a drawer in my mind, because now when I start thinking about it, I live in the land of interracial relationships. I live in LA, and it's, you know, epidemic proportions. And, you know, one interesting, that opens up a drawer, because I would have to say, and of course this is not scientific, but in my experience, and I've never been conscious of this idea until now, but in my experience, anecdotally, I think you're right. I've definitely known a whole bunch, I've known a ridiculously more disproportionate amount of African-American women in more sort of secret sexual relationship situations with white men than African-American men with white women. Way less secret, way less down low, way less on the surface, just booty call or whatever the people say. But so yeah, that's very interesting. So as usual, I'm getting a good education listening to Gus and Cree. Appreciate the show. I'm gonna just listen in now.
Hello? I got a question.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Yeah, you said that you have observed that white people are also confused when they engage in sexual intercourse with a non-white person. I wanted to ask you, how do these white people demonstrate that they are confused as a result of being in sexual relationships with a non-white person?
To me, and I'm someone who likes to, most people I know, I like politics, I like sociology, I like, you know, I talk about things that maybe typically people don't talk about or don't feel comfortable talking about. And so basically if you're a friend or an acquaintance of mine, you pretty much have to be open to talking about things that people typically don't talk about, because otherwise you're probably not going to want to be friends or be around me for very long. So I look at the world as kind of maybe like a social scientist, and so I ask people a lot of questions that other people might say, you know, are inappropriate. But what I've noticed is that people who are in interracial relationships, non-white, white, that the white people tend to be more confused in such a way that they... it's almost as if they, and this is, again, not scientific, just my anecdote from my bias or whatever, but they seem to be more than the average white person. They seem to be less, how do you put it? They seem to be more confused about why things are the way they are. It seems to be like they have this internal monologue or something of like, I just don't understand why things are the way they are. I just don't get it, why things are the way they are, to a much greater degree than the average white person seems to take one or more of extreme, like they either really just don't care, it's not something they even think about, or, you know, or they get into blaming the victim or something like that. And they don't, they see things, I guess, how do I put it? They see things, well, I guess a better way to put it is like this. white people who are in relations with non-white people, maybe it isn't confusion isn't the right word. Maybe they're more sympathetic towards the victim status of the non-colored person in the same way that you know, when I've heard people on your show, often, you know, you'll have someone who seems an African-American who seems a bit maybe not as mad as you would think a victim would be about racism, white supremacy.
Professor
somebody
Cheryl,
has the magic.
I'm sorry for interrupting. I said,
oh,
Professor
no.
Cheryl Judice, when you said there are black people who seem not as angry about racism, white supremacy, Professor Cheryl Judice.
Oh, yes, yes. And often you guys pinpoint, I guess using the codification, often someone asks the question, are you in a sexual relation with a white person? And so often on the show, it has been the case that that person who seems a little bit not that concerned about white supremacy, or who seems to be really advocating, taking the side of the victimizers a bit much, it seems that they're often in a relationship. When the question's asked, they'll be like, yes, I am, my wife's white, or something like that. So I think the dynamic plays out, I guess what I'm trying to say, the dynamic I think plays out similarly, that white people in relations with non-white people, I think they do seem more often than not to be much more sympathetic to the victimization of non-white peoples. I'm not saying that they are or are not still white supremacists, or that they do or do not still practice white supremacy. I don't know, but they seem, or at least pay lip service to being more sympathetic, and they seem to have more confusion around the whole. I guess maybe confusion is not the right word. It's as if they just don't understand what's going on, seems to be their monologue. They just don't understand why things are the way they are. They just don't get it. That's kind of like their monologue. Yes.
May I chime
May
in,
I ask
please?
You a question? Oh.
Yes.
Oh, go ahead.
I want to ask, do you think them portraying confusion is them practicing white supremacy? That, like, that they don't know what's going on, they're practicing white supremacy, that could be them doing that, so they could still be in a sexual relationship with a non-white person. You think that isn't practicing white supremacy?
I think that that's reasonable. I mean, I think we have to be suspicious. I don't know if I would say that that's always 100% true, but that seems reasonable. That seems reasonable. Sometimes that they could be like, oh, shucks, I don't get it, I don't understand, as a way to, you know, maintain their getting their sex from the non-white person, but, you know, without having to sort of, and still be able to continue to practice white supremacy. Yeah, I mean, that arrangement seems totally plausible.
May I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, have you ever been confused?
Well, in what way?
You know what way I'm referring to.
Well, I think I know what way you're referring to. So
uh-huh.
I would, I think it's a little bit complicated. I don't know how to answer the question with honesty. I mean, I can tell you what I think, and I've said on the show, I mentioned before on the show that yes, I had at one time been in an interracial relationship, white, non-white. However, I was young, not even an adult, and I was living I grew up in a primarily white place, like a lily white place. So I don't know if that was just a response to my environment and a response to my hormones and a response to, you know, versus was I seeking out you know, that what did that recent guest say, the soothing ointment or the soothing lotion? I don't think it was a situation like that. I think it was a situation of a young man wanting companionship and wanting and being in an area where basically if you were going to have it, it was going to be with a white person, because there were no black people where I grew up. So
now,
that
being said, would you have another type relationship then, knowing what you know?
Knowing my understanding of the world and politics and just how things are, Oh, go ahead.
This is beyond politics. Politics this is beyond politics. This is way beyond politics. Sex is way beyond. There may be politics involved in sex, but sex is way beyond politics. So, I just want you to be real with yourself.
Right. I think it's all the same. I mean, we're talking about white supremacy. That is completely about power, and it's about power in every area of human activity. Power over people of non-color. So it is political, but it's related to every single area. And my understanding or lack of understanding, I'm at the point where I don't think it's wise for a non-white person, generally speaking, I don't think it's wise for a non-white person to be engaged in sexual relations with a white person, because there is too many weird political problems going on. There's just so much confusion around it. At the same time, I'm not going to tell anybody not to, but my own personal choice, my life, I don't need the drama. So I personally don't get in interracial relationships.
Yeah. I was going to say, you're sounding like a politician there.
Well, thank you very much.
let me say it in a way that's not very political. Leave the sweet white nectar alone. Leave it alone.
I think that's a reasonable position for us people of color to have, you know.
Because I live in California also, and you're right. It runs rampant here.
Mm-hmm.
And white girls walk around here with fake boobs, fake buttocks. You know, they're very appealing. I get that, but leave it alone.
Hello? Hello?
And
let me hear.
Hello?
Oh.
Yeah, I can hear.
How many people, I just want to, for the listeners, just to re-listen to the MC Search show. And you tell me if you think that he's confused. We listen to that.
He is. Ooh, that's a great example of.
That is a great example.
That's a great example. And that's what I guess I couldn't articulate. That's what I see around. Yes. Yeah, that's what I see with white people engaged in interracial relationships. I see that MC Searchism is what we're going to call it from now on.
No, but he was very informed.
Absolutely.
He was mentioning non-white countries. I was like, wow, this guy, he's really sharp. I think, if anything, they're less confused because they know what they have to say. So, yeah.
And Lauren Ashley, you just touched on something I just want to further expound upon. This notion China keeps coming up, I noticed, on the show.
Yes.
Let me just share some information in regards to China. China, in my view, is another Rwanda ticking.
Ooh.
So I don't know why China even keeps coming up, as somehow they have evaded the white supremacists. But if people will just do their own research, they will discover that what's going on in China right now is, as far as I'm concerned, very similar conditions to some kind of a civil, so-called civil war breaking out between China and Taiwan, and possibly some Taiwan affiliated group on the mainland of China that see the government of Taiwan as being the only official government of China. So China has a lot of problems.
And Taiwan is backed by the West typically as well, just to throw that in there. So it probably is the typical dynamic of the global white supremacy with regard to how they play you know, countries against one another to be able to control those countries. And so they
absolutely
got it under control.
They have it well under control.
I wanted to make sure I got in one more quote. I don't want to stop the scintillating dialogue you all are engaged in. I've been very content to just sit back and enjoy. I wanted to throw in one more tidbit from Professor Cheryl Y. Judice's book, Interracial Marriages Between Black Women and White Men. This is from page 143. This is from a black husband, black male, excuse me, who is married to a white woman. And this is on page 143. He says, I understand what class and race mean in America. I don't have to conform to society's beliefs. I am a transcendentalist. What may be important today in society will continue to change, and I will transcend and continue on. Black male married to a white woman who also sounds like he is not a victim of racism, white supremacy. At least that sounds like that would be his position. A transcendentalist. That was that was the term. Page 143, Cheryl Y. Judice.
Wow. Gus.
Yes, sir.
I was going to say, you know, man, no offense to anyone in terms of their religious backgrounds and nothing like that, but I do so often find both in my life, in talking to people, and I've heard the very last guest who was the very last caller on a Cal show that I've heard, whom was asked the question if they are in a relationship with a white person, and then they fessed up that yes, they were married to a white woman. The first thing they immediately did was they hid behind the Bible and rattled off something about, you know, what God says is marriage or something, yada, 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 that's good, that's blessed. And so I think we often see people justify their situation in being in a relationship, a sexual relationship with non-whites. We often see them run and hide behind some sort of metaphysical, spiritual philosophy or the Bible or something. That's like the first thing they often do.
Lots of hiding going on for the folks who are victims engaged in sexual relationships with white people. That sweet nectar, sweet nectar and soothing lotion, powerful stuff, powerful stuff. I wanted to let folks know this is program one of two for today. Second program is coming up in a little less than 1 hour, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific. We have a class full of suspected racists coming through. The white people who are in charge of this class have been working round the clock to inform the students that they are not required to participate in today's program. And a non-white, non-black student, he saw the program description and was furious. He said, oh my gosh, it is totally unacceptable to reference these blessed white children as white supremacists. And it took a codified victim to point out that it does not reference these students as white supremacists. They are referenced as suspected white supremacists. But that's coming up bottom of the hour. I hope you will, if you all have the time and or interest, will tune in, call in with questions, be rowdy. I have no regard for these white folks. I wanted to thank Khadija. She is a loyal listener. She posts the show on Facebook and tries to get more listeners. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You are the bestest. And I also want to let people know Mr. Josh Wickett, who was on Cree's program a week ago, counter-racist, evolving engineer right here at Blog Talk Radio. He has written tons of extraordinary counter-racist film reviews, but he's also written a lot of excellent counter-racist book reviews. One of those books, the Port Chicago Mutiny, the author, Robert Allen, will be coming to the Cows next month, March 5th. Just locked up a date and time today. Robert Allen, author of the Port Chicago Mutiny, very interesting episode in the system of white supremacy. You should go to thecode.net. You can read Mr. Wickett's book review for Professor Allen's work. And, yeah, that should be a nice homework assignment to prep you for that program March 5th. Just go read Josh Wickett's counter-racist book review. Yeah, we'll be right back. You all, I need time to refresh for the white people. So I'll let this one ride for six. So whatever you all want to say for the next 6 minutes, and then I'm going to take 50 to refresh, and Justice and I will be right back with the chat room at four. So you all got 6 minutes, whatever you want to say.
Hi, this is Mr. New York. I just want to make a quick comment or share something, actually. A tool that I use, with the with white people, Gentile, whichever term you prefer. And that is this. Mr. Fuller has used the term regarding when you, if you need some money from them, that you should ask for a compensatory investment request. The term that I've been able to use very effectively with white people is anytime you need anything, whether it be money, time, labor, whatever it is. And the phrase that I use, and boy, I mean, they fall over themselves to help me. I ask this. I'm hoping you have the power to help me. You ask a white person that and watch them fall all over themselves to help you.
Wow.
I'm going to repeat it. I'm hoping you have the power to help me. And then you go into whatever it is you need.
Beautiful.
Just wanted to share that. Oh, you're welcome.
I will be using that this week.
I want to take a quick poll and ask all the non-white people on the line if any of them can say that they've never been a victim of white supremacy like the guest did today. Is there anyone? I didn't think so.
I thought just her saying that was kind of abusive, because it was diminishing, you know, all the tragedy that's happened to us and continues to happen to us. So I really wanted her to stay on so I could ask her a couple questions.
I think what happened as soon as she uttered that, I almost certain that the show would not go very much longer because to say such a thing, normally people would say, what's the word I'm looking for? They would say things in contingency, they would change the definitions, but they wouldn't straight out utter something that could be refuted so easily, especially someone who's intelligent enough to have garnered a professorship at a distinguished university like Northwestern. As soon as she said that, I'm sure she realized that she was being pushed by her emotion. She felt like maybe her position, her favorite position with the white supremacists had been threatened, and she got pushed by emotions and fear to make such a statement that could be defrocked so easily. And so as soon as she made that statement, she knew she wouldn't be able to defend that, so she would have to leave the show. The more clear thinking a victim of racism is, the more they're going to be targeted for sexual molestation. Mr. Fuller even said there was a woman who called him every day for over a year. You can go on counterracism.com, and there was a white woman by the name of Cloud Song. And he told me that she would like nothing better than to bag him in order to discredit him. We're talking about Neely Fuller Jr. So in the same way that I think
Mac Payne was talking. He had sent an email to Gus yesterday about how these white people had targeted Gus to try to discredit him in order to have sexual relations with him. Anybody, the more clear-thinking you become about racism, white supremacy, the more focused you become on it, the more they will target you for sexual molestation. So be on your guard.
Mm. Gus, did you hear about the incident up there in Seattle? A young African-American woman was beat up in the subway system there, and seems to have some interesting connections to race. I don't know if you have heard about that. If not, I would like to send you the article.
It popped up on my Facebook several times. I've seen it. If you're talking about the one, it's I think she's a 15-year-old black female, and looks like three black males assaulted her, and the secure enforcement officials at the transportation center did not intervene. Yes, I'm aware that I saw it. Yes, yes.
Yep.
Racism, white supremacy. I think I was telling back the bus. Early, like when people say, you know, you're in Seattle, you're not around a lot of black people, and even the area where the black people are here, I'm not there frequently, so I'm really distanced from black people. And they say, you know, oh, that's so bad, and don't you miss black people? And da 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 da. Exhibit A, hell no, I do not miss black people. Victims of racism, white supremacy treat each other terribly. No, I don't miss black people. No. In fact, I say consistently, it is no coincidence, in my view. I could be wrong, but I don't think it is a coincidence at all that I got clarity and less confused about racism, white supremacy when I left an environment that had a lot of black people. When I got to an environment that had a lot fewer non-white people, I was able to get clarity about racism, white supremacy. I don't think that is a coincidence at all.
Wow. Ditto. I second that. I don't know. Maybe the grass is always greener on the other side, because I come from a sort of the opposite. And for me, I needed to, you know, get away from white people to understand white supremacy.
I second that 310. I think it's the contrast that is informative. It's the contrast. So if you've been always around white people, it's hard to know what they're doing. But if you've been always around black people, you're immersed in it, so you can't see what they're doing. I think it's the contrast that's informative, because for me, it worked the same way as it did for you, 310.
Mm. Oh, and interestingly enough, those victims of white supremacy in Seattle that were victimizing that young African-American woman, one of the things that I saw in quoted them as basically they were part of the harassment of her was saying that she, quote, acted white.
Yeah.
Any comments on that?
End of the show. Replace white supremacy with justice. I don't know. Yeah. I have no comment on that at all. Replace white supremacy with justice as soon as possible. Justice's email is justice.asap@yahoo.com. Again, it is justice.asap@yahoo.com. We'll be back in 47 minutes. Class of suspected racist white supremacists. The callers were fantastic today. Thank you, everybody who called in. Extraordinary commentary. It was a pleasure to listen. Hope you all come back. The chat room will be open. We'll be back 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Acting white. That's us. 2010, acting white. Cal signing out.